The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Appreciate all the feedback, and it's funny because everybody's like, well, you know, or not everybody, some people. The Cousins thing is inconsequential as far as us moving forward. No, it's not. It's still going to affect the team and how we do business, but it is something that I think we all want answers to. Like, we go through life sometimes, and you have these mysteries, Mike, and you're like, man, what happened? Like, how did that happen? It's nice to get answers if you can. And so that's kind of what we're searching for through some of this stuff with Terry Fontenot today as we'll continue to play some of his sound bites.
And just real quick, because I saved me a lot of carpal tunnel getting on my laptop here. When you go back and you can search, guys, all the pre-draft stuff, and yes, there's always misinformation and there's guys that will say one thing about one player, this and that. I get all that. But Michael Penix Jr. in no mock drafts was going anywhere in the top six. And the other thing is, guys, if we don't sign Kirk Cousins, we would have then been in play for Bo Nix. We would have been in play for anyone that wasn't Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and or Drake May, potentially. All those guys we would have visited. All those guys we would have certainly been in play for. And there might have been a perception we were going to go one guy or the other. But if Terry really, truly loved Michael Penix Jr., Carl, the worst-case scenario is if the Raiders, and we spoke to a guy that covered the Raiders, is they were scared by the medicals on Michael Penix Jr. Just one writer, doesn't speak for the Raiders organization. Not sure if Telesco was in on him or not. Who got fired today, by the way? Their GM is out. But point I'm getting to, guys, is there was still a way, if Penix were you earmarked as that guy, you could have found him if you had to move up to two spots to the Giants. That's all you had to do. And if he's the guy you want, then you do give a second-round pick. You do give whatever you got if you feel he's that guy. And I can all live with that. But one or the other. And now we find ourselves in the strangest of scenarios, which, of course, no one would have foresaw Cousins looking as bad as he did after he looked as good as he did this year.
Yeah, that's part of the mystery. All right, let's hear Terry Fontenot talking about pass rush. It's been our Achilles heel. We got better second half of the season. After the bye week, to be quite honest with you, the numbers, you know, started to accumulate 3-4 sacks seemingly every week. But as I've said, we don't have that guy. We don't have a guy that teams game plan for. Here's Terry Fontenot talking about and owning that we need to get better in this area.
We started off and we were last in the league, first 9 games of the season. And then after the bye, significant jump in pass rush with we're second in the league and over that span following the bye. And, you know, specifically with Arnold Ebukadi, he was top 5 in sacks down the stretch. Caden Ellis had an unbelievable year, and he led the league in pass rush rate. And so we have pressure. We have pressure players. We have to add to that. So we showed ability. We showed improvement in that area, but that's definitely needs to be an area that we continue to improve.
All right. With all due respect to Terry on that one, I mean, what? Since after the bye week, we were the second best team again. We still finished second to last in sacks.
Mike, it wasn't last.
Okay, well, you know, if you want to look at, again, we do love where Ebukadi is, and 6 is great, you know, tied with Vaughn Miller with Buffalo, but that's 50th in the league.
Mike, it wasn't last.
But, I mean, it just you can manipulate the numbers to your argument. But after the bye week, and I remember I even asked Terry on last Thursday, hey, man, reports are you got more involved in the defense. I'm involved in every aspect. Okay. Take that one. Claim
it. You talking about Raw?
I said I did that last week. Not Terry. Raheem Morris claimed. You know, there was a report from Ian Rappaport that Raheem Morris was more involved with the defense. And, hey, own that. And maybe that means that Jimmy Lake wasn't doing something you were able to fix. By the way, nothing about Jimmy Lake today in the press conference. Sounds like no movement, at least anytime soon, if anyone was going to get got on the staff.
Let's hear just that soundbite talking about, does he expect any coaching changes, Big O? It's Dukes and Bell Sports, 92.9 The Game. He was asked that question Are there going to be changes? This is Terry Fontenot.
We just have to, again, we're in those conversations. That's a normal part of the process where you win a lot or lose a lot. That's just a normal part of it, and we're right in the midst of those conversations.
That's a no. I mean, that's what I think. I think it's a no. I think the evaluation process is, first of all, owning up to ownership. Some people screwed up, right? I screwed up here. That's including coaching, whatever. We made mistakes on personnel, which you have to acknowledge. And then you keep it moving. I know a lot of people have said, hey, it is rare, even though we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it this year where head coaches have lost their gig after one season. Gerard Mayo, who was handpicked by the owner, lost his gig. But do you want to continue to do that year in and year out? And that's why I felt like Ra was safe. I did not know, Mike, whether Jimmy Lake would be gone because I thought the performance at the end of the season was an embarrassment. I really did.
I mean, think about the Minnesota game. You got corners literally flopping on the ground like salmon. You know, you look at that, the sequence where you see the touchdown pass from Bryce Young where there's not even a Falcon player in the picture. You know, we basically, they went right down the field in overtime. I was like, we weren't even there. If I was Arthur Blank, I would be asking serious questions of my general manager coach and say, what's up with our defense? And Jimmy Lake might not be up to the task. And if Raheem, you know, he pulled like a Dan Quinn in 16 and got more involved, and out of respect to Jimmy Lake, he's not going to say he pulled rank and made some moves. I guess we certainly saw more pass rush, but then the timing was the key. We got more sacks, but then we never got teams off the ground or off the field on third down.
Yep.
So, look, this team has a defense that doesn't do a good job of getting the quarterback on the ground. Ebikadie is a solid piece, no debating that. But he still hasn't lived up to being a second-round pick, or has he, in your mind?
I do think the last two seasons we've seen him live up to it. Has he been a double-digit sack guy? The answer is no. But
he was always that second tier in that edge rush class. And six. So if you do by the numbers, six and a half, six sacks is pretty. It's okay then, I guess.
But
you need a fire breather on the opposite end.
I think he's been fine. I think over the last 2 years, his development has come along. There are guys who haven't developed in 4 years. He is at least contributing to your team in a way that affects winning. That I can accept. I can't say that about Kyle Pitts. So, I mean, we can talk about various guys on this team. I'm okay with Arnold Ebikadie. But as I said yesterday, we need more people. 404-726-0929.
Carl, am I need more people.
You guys, that's it.
You guys are making such a good point about the sacks. Guys, we didn't touch Bryce Young in the last game.
Not once.
You didn't touch him.
Not once.
So, yeah, the contributions were great leading up to that point. But when you were in a virtual playoff game with your season on the line, you didn't get one.
And that's disturbing.
So how much of that is empty?
That's
correct.
That's disturbing.
That's it. I mean, that's when I heard that number when he was throwing those numbers out there. Like, come on, it's just that's not telling the story. We're still one of the most anemic pass rushes in the league.
What about the Judon and Simmons moves, guys?
Give him credit. He tried, Carl. He tried.
He tried.
You can say certainly at the time, who would have thought that Judon was going to just basically be up and down at best and ineffective?
Here's Terry Fontenot talking about Judon and Simmons. And let's be honest, we thought they would take our defense to the next level. That was why we were so excited about it. Not so much now. Here's Terry.
When you do that, when you add players at that point in their career, then we're looking at, for us to make those decisions, we're saying, okay, we're in position to win the division and to make a run in the playoffs. And the fact that we're not in the playoffs, then we're not happy with the result of those decisions. That's just natural. That's not saying anything against either one of those players specifically, Matt or Justin, or anything. I'm not saying anything negative about the coaching staff or anything, but when you make those decisions, we believe that's going to be a tipping point for us, and it wasn't.
It was not. Again, right. If you ask me going into next season, let's just say we're in July, right before camp, we got a chance to add a couple of pieces that we think are going to help the defense. I'm always going to say for the general manager, go do it. Like if you feel like – I don't think there's anybody that follows football that would have been like, man, the defense is a little anemic in these areas. Let's not do that. Everybody in their right mind said, let's go do that. It didn't cost us a whole lot, but ultimately didn't pay off the way we thought it would.
Right. Jonathan Grenard, who went to Minnesota, that would have been a nice piece. If you couldn't get Danielle Hunter, there were so many edge rushes we talked about in free agency, but we decided to go for two quarterbacks. So this is what you get. You the third-round pick, which now this year we need to really, you know, if you want to move up, you don't have equity in the draft to do that, with at least with this class. We don't have a third-round pick. We're missing a sixth-rounder too, right? Is that correct? So, or is it a fifth-rounder? Either way, we don't have the full arsenal this year in the draft. We're picking 15th. We have gotten some impact players, both on offense and defense. Lindstrom was, 14th, and A.J. Terrell was 16th. So there's always a chance if you earmark a guy. Carl, it's way too early to know where the edge rushers are going to be.
Yep.
But there's a lot of teams already mock drafts. Guys are saying, well, Pierce from Tennessee or Mikel Williams. It's way too early, guys. Way too early.
Yeah, and I also think the way you gain picks, and we've seen it, is you got to move back, right? I mean, that's the reality. So maybe we're not picking 15th. Maybe we're picking in the late 20s, and you gain a third-round pick in that process while you're switching. That's all possible, but guess what? It's January. I mean, like, right now, I'm still PO'd about how this season ended and wanting answers, which is why I thought this was so important today for him to answer some of this stuff, and he did. He answered some. I don't know if we're ever going to get the full answers, Mike, on some of the stuff we've been talking about.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, and I know we've covered this a million times, nobody ever in a million years would have thought Cousins would have gone from where he was, you know, when we were 6-3 to where things were at that. That's the thing. You guys are telling me there's going to be a market for Kirk Cousins. You're going to look at that Raider film,
yep,
and you're going to go, that was awful. It didn't even look like a veteran quarterback. It looked as bad as the rookie or the second-year starter, Desmond Ridder. He was playing in that game in Vegas that night. So if you trade for – guys are coming up with us on the text line and on social media. They keep saying, well, we can trade him. Anybody who trades for him has to pay – picks up the tab.
There's still cap ramifications. He's legit.
There's cap ramifications for us. But if you've traded for Kirk Cousins, you've got to have $45 million in cap space. That's the facts, Jack.